Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And you heard Hugh Jackson yesterday. Doug was there for it. Doug's seen a lot of stuff, including this. Doug Deacon joins us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Is there such a thing as bulletin board material in the NFL, and did Sean Gibson provide it?
Well, there's bulletin board material, but I think, you know, sometimes you've got to look at the situation, and obviously here's a player that played for Cleveland, enjoyed playing for Cleveland, and wasn't offered a contract, and you know, he's in a situation where his team is 6-3 and we're 0-9, and he's, you know, getting some frustrations out from the fact that they didn't give him the offer he wanted, or an offer.
Were you surprised, Doug, looking back? I mean, it's not like we were clamoring for Tashaun Gibson. It wasn't really the highlight of the offseason, but looking back, and I know it's we like to do revisionist history here, but they are clearly struggling with that position, and it wasn't like Tashaun was old, and he was a Pro Bowler for 1 year. Are you surprised maybe there wasn't that kind of offer for retention for him?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if you look at the way they're, you know, playing Peppers now, ideally they'd like to have, you know, Gibson, probably somebody of Gibson's talents, that it's more of a free safety playing there. So, you know, it's been kind of, you know, said, you know, the reason we're playing Peppers so deep is because we don't have a free safety. So I think, you know, it was the thing is broken down with, you know, Greg Williams coming in and running his defense. Ideally, you know, a true free safety would be an add, you know, much like, you know, when they didn't make they made an offer to Mitchell Schwartz and he went to Kansas City, and he came back and they had pulled the offer off the table. So, you know, Mitchell Schwartz ends up in Kansas City. So those are a couple, you know, players that, you know, obviously are playing well. Although Gibson didn't have a good season last year, but this year he's, you know, he's playing good again.
Doug Deacon joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Well, one of the things I think were critical about the Browns, it's like, hey, like, no, Tashaun Gibson was not the end-all, be-all of the defense. But one of the things that they missed, and I think Joe Thomas even referenced this, is that you miss the middle class, and Tashaun Gibson is part of the middle class of a football team. There's guys who are hanging on. There are guys who are the upper echelon, and then you need the meaty middle, and he was a part of that. And the Browns are losing that, and I think that's part of the reason that they're losing games, Doug.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's players that they've let go that, you know, obviously are productive players. I mean, you can look at Gary Barnage, and he'd be another one. And the thing is, their philosophy is now they've stripped it down to the studs, and they want to get all these young players reps. And if you got an older veteran sitting there, you're not going to get it. But with that said, they've really not gone out and, you know, drafted a true free safety. So, you know, it would have been a need that they could have filled with from within. And, you know, it's like the right tackle, you know, and I hate to go back to the Mitchell Schwartz, but it bothers you because tackles are a premium in the NFL, much like a center. And if you get one, you better keep them, especially if you got one that hasn't missed a, you know, snap in, you know, 5 years or 4 years before Mitchell left. You know, those are the kind of players that, you know, then all of a sudden you take a Sean Coleman, you don't force him into the lineup early, and, you know, you build some depth on your offensive line or in your secondary.
Doug Deacon, join us on the hotline right now. When you saw what the Browns were able to do, jump out to that lead against Detroit, did you start to think, when all was said and done in that game, even though it was a loss, that there was some progress there? Or do you think maybe that could be just a blip and you caught Detroit on the short week and all of that?
No, I thought, you know, there was progress made. I think, you know, Kaiser did a nice job of moving the team. I think he had four drives of double-digit plays, which is, you know, what you want your offense to do is, you know, march up and down the field and, you know, keep the ball away so the defense gets rested. And I thought, you know, there was improvement. I think in the running game there was a lot of improvement when you run for 201 yards. You know, that was a pretty good effort against the team. I think it was ranked 6th against the run. But, you know, this week against Jacksonville, you get the team that's number 1 against the run.
When you start thinking about 0-9, when a team starts thinking about 0-9, how much does that creep in during a game? Do they start thinking about their own mistakes and maybe waiting for things to start falling apart like they have so many times in the past?
Well, you can, you know, wait for things, you know, to go bad, or you can, you know, try to do too much, and then in doing so, you know, you expose an area of weakness. If, you know, say if you're in the secondary and you're trying to help somebody else out, and that's really not your responsibility, then you get a hole in your secondary. So, I mean, it can go both ways. I mean, they just have to go out and, you know, play football as, you know, if it's the next game, and the idea is, you know, like every game, you better go out there with the idea you're going to win it.
Doug Deacon joining us. It seemed like the defense was trending in such a positive direction. There were even some around the league, and certainly fans were starting to tout the Browns' defense as potentially a top 10 defense. They were very good against the run all year. And then what happened last week against Detroit? Because that did not look like the defense that I had seen over the last month for the Browns.
Well, I think, you know, early on, they were playing their linebackers a little deeper, knowing that, you know, the Lions' success has always been with Stafford through the air and trying to get into the passing lanes. And in doing so, they were getting, you know, gashed in the running game because coming into the game, the Lions were averaging less than 80 yards per game on the ground. And, you know, I think by half they almost had that, if not so. And so all of a sudden then, you know, you're sitting there and you say, we got to move the linebackers up. And the next thing you know, Stafford's burning them with the pass. And, you know, Stafford is a guy that, you know, I think last year he had eight wins where they came back in the fourth quarter to win football games. So, you know, no lead was going to be secure when you play a guy like Stafford.
You know, a lot of people, I'm going to give Lyman this credit here, because Lyman made a point after a show, this was like 2 weeks ago, and I've remembered it, and I wanted to bring it up with you now, is Lyman read the Terry Pluto book, False Start, and about how, yeah, the Browns were behind the eight ball, but still, you know, they still made the playoffs. I think it was, what, year three, Doug?
Yeah.
They still made the playoffs there. Where did it all unravel after that? You were there. You remember that time after 0-2. What happened there that led to the dysfunction and led to where we're at now?
Well, I think they went out in free agency, and then they tried to patch some things, and they spent a lot of money. I think there was a time where Mr. Lerner was sick, and they wanted to, you know, upgrade the team as much as possible. And, you know, it was just a Band-Aid. And, you know, the Band-Aid only lasted for a year because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, guys, they weren't able to build on it. They actually you know, just went out and loaded everything. And in doing so, they just didn't get over the hump.
So kind of a chance to go for the gusto one more time for Al Lerner. I can actually understand that. It's kind of where it was with Al Davis there at the end with him with the Oakland Raiders. Doug Deacon joining us on the show. Then what do you think that Jacksonville did right? Because they were good for a while. I know we haven't seen them good for a long time, but they were good for a while. What do you think Jacksonville did right that the Browns need to do, basically being an expansion franchise from last year and this year moving forward?
Well, I think if you look at them, they went out this year in free agency and upgraded their defense. Their defense is pretty darn good. And, you know, in doing so, you know, I think on the other side, you know, Bortles, who a lot of people have, you know, kind of, this is his, fifth year they picked up the option for it. But, you know, if he doesn't succeed, you know, then they got to start looking for a quarterback again. Obviously, the one way they thought that they could help him would be, you know, get a good running game. So they went out and got Fournette. And, I mean, and here's a guy, they're number one in rushing. All of a sudden, you've taken some of the pressure off the quarterback position, and, you know, Bortles has been able to win six games. And then, you know, I think, you know, bringing in Tom Coughlin, you know, from the old Giants head coach to run the football part of the program is, you know, been a nice thing because he's a no-nonsense, physical style coach. And, you know, all of a sudden you get a running game going, and that's probably the most physical you can get in the NFL. I mean, passing is a lot more of a finesse game, but when you can knock people off the ball and your running backs, you know, getting 4 or 5 yards a crack, you can break wear a team down.
Doug, are you a rah-rah guy in terms of motivational stuff like pregame speeches, bulletin board material? How effective do you think that stuff is? Because the Browns are talking about how now they have to be motivated by Deshaun Gibson's comments.
Well, I don't think you get motivated by that. You get motivated by your own personal pride. I mean, you go out there and, you know, every time you play a game, it's a reference of what kind of, you know, player you are. And, you know, yeah, you can see where Deshaun Gibson, you know, was had some sour grapes against the team. But with that said, you're 0-9, and nobody wants to be that team that's 0-10. So the only way you can fix it is, you know, by going out and play. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of these guys didn't even know Deshaun Gibson. We're such a young football team. But, you know, and it's just some guy, you know, they think that's got sour grapes or somebody taking a shot. But, you know, he didn't take it at the players. I think he was taking it at the front office because they didn't make him a contract offer.
Doug, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. We wish you all the best, and we'll listen to you on Sunday.
Okay, Kenny.
The wonderful Doug Deacon joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. So he kind of questions within himself, you know, the professionalism, stuff about that, to be that type of a guy. To be a guy who's a motivator in your own right,
yeah.
As a professional.
Yeah.
As a professional. Well, I still think that if you have a young football team,
we're getting different opinions,
team,
you know, different opinions and different players. Mark Brunell said yes. He believed in that stuff.
I just don't think it can hurt. I don't think that it's going to hurt your football team to have them focus on an opponent instead of just a number that is about their own inadequacies and their own inefficiencies and their own failures. I think you're going against a ghost, and that can be a dangerous thing. You're going after your own problems. And so when you have an opponent who says nasty things about you, it's better to go after them. I think it's motivating.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.